So last week we took a little detour from Colossians to talk about boundaries, and that as we are completely devoted to one another in the body of Christ, there are times to exclude people from that. And we kind of took that detour partly because there was the ladies' retreat last week, and we're going to start talking about relationships within the body of Christ. And it starts with wives, and I didn't want to do that last week with the ladies having a reason not to be here. Although there were more ladies here last week than men, by the way, during Sunday school. Yeah, I know. Because I counted, I'm like, ooh, maybe I made a mistake. So I want to start talking about the relationships we have in the church, because that's where Colossians is going in chapter 3, starting in 18. And as I said, it starts with wives. But before we go to wives, there are a lot of different relationships in this passage. There's wives, husbands, children, fathers, slaves, masters, and those outside the church. And those outside the church, as we'll see in a bit, they are a little bit different. But these are all relationships that we have to maneuver. And Paul doesn't address each one of these in a complete, thorough manner. I don't plan to either. I'm going to try and just kind of catch what I think is the spirit, or the spirit that I caught from this on each subject matter. With some extra thoughts, because I'm not an expert at all of these. And I realized I was not going to become an expert each week for that subject. So, but so far in Colossians, there has been, especially from the slant that I have taken, there's been this push towards there being no distinctions. There are no distinctions. In chapter 3, verse 9, it goes, "Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, freeman, but Christ is all and in all." And it doesn't address outsiders, appropriately so, and it doesn't address wives, but it does address wives in Galatians, chapter 3, verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor freeman. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." So by bringing that verse, we see like that this is a theme. There are no distinctions in Christ Jesus. Oh no, I don't need those. Thank you. So, with there being no distinctions, when we go into this other passage where there seem to be distinctions, I kind of wanted to address the difference a little bit, and I want to address it by giving it a different name, because if you rename it, then it's a different thing, and therefore it's okay. and I want to call it, that's a joke obviously, but I want to call them functions. I want to call them functions. And there's a reason for it. There are a couple verses that talk about different functions. And so that's kind of what I want to function. Because from God's perspective, we're all the same. But we are also individuals. And as individuals, we have different functions. Some of us are male, some are female. Some are children. Some are in charge of things. Some are subject to those in charge. And unlike the animal world, where animals just function as they are meant to function, but we don't. We often don't like our function, and so we do our own thing. Okay, so okay, talking about function. So Romans, starting right there in chapter 1, verse 26. And we've looked at this before. You probably kind of have it in your mind still. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function. That's one of the passages I got that word from. For that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So whether we be man or woman, we have a function, and to work outside that function is dishonoring to God, and it dishonors ourselves. God created us, and he created us to be in certain ways. And therefore, we ought to act in that way. He also loves us needing one another. And if we all had the same function, we wouldn't need one another. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, starting in verse 3. For through the grace of God, grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. He who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so we see even in the church, not just our natural body, but in the church, even in our spirit, we serve according to the gifts given to us, according to our function. And this passage is addressing, again, people who are wanting to work in functions that they don't have, or claiming that someone who has a different function is of less value. So within the body of Christ, we have different functions, and physically, just by nature, all of us have different functions. And some of them are based on age, gender, and just position in the political spectrum and in the things that we have to maneuver in life. But on the other hand, there still remains one distinction, and that is the distinction from God's perspective between those who are his and those who are not his. That is a difference. Outsiders, there's a distinction to outsiders. In fact, I like to point out sometimes, because especially among Christians, when we're talking about other countries and different types of people, that from God's perspective, there's no distinction between me and a young slave girl in a third world nation who also puts her trust in him. On the other hand, there is a great chasm of distinction between me and my neighbor, who's a white male, non-believer, listens to the same music that I listen to. There's, there's a huge distinction between him and me, but no distinction from God's perspective whatsoever between me and that person in that third world nation, different skin, different country, different language, different economic situation, different experience, but the same God, the same Spirit is in them that is in me. She is my family. He's not. But she has a different function than I do. Go ahead, Michael.
James calls it office.
Yeah. Yeah. There are offices. So, I have... Well, no. Let's jump to wives right there in 1 Corinthians, or not, Colossians 3:18. Colossians 3. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Typically, when wives are talked about, we kind of associate it with... what the men's role is, and we contrast them and make the women feel better. You're not going to get that from me. I'm sorry. I purposely kind of wanted them separate so I can address them both honestly and not in contrast to one another. Because a woman's function is completely different than mine, and which is a great and wonderful thing. Now, the key word here is subject. And I want to just start by being pretty clear on the concept of subject. The word there means to place under. I have a I have a employee named Scott. He's in charge of brewing. I don't know how you feel about brewing, one way or the other, but that's his job. He brews beer. He knows how to brew beer. He knows how to run the brewery. He has an employee or two working for him, and he works for me. In that position, he's placed under me. I'd like to point something out. If I disappear tomorrow, the company would struggle. If he disappeared tomorrow, our entire brewing facility would just be devastated. In function, I'm his boss. In value, he might be more valuable than I am. He might be more important to the company than I am. But it's important for him to act in his function, and it is important for me to act in my function. As important as he is for to the brewing side, he has personal issues all the time. And if he didn't have someone to answer to, he probably wouldn't get his job done. So it's important for me to recognize that even though he might be more important than me, in function I'm his boss and I need to keep him accountable, otherwise the work doesn't get done. So it's super important for both of us to act properly in our function, even if he's more valuable than me and I'm his boss. Thank you. Yeah. So function has nothing to do with importance or value. I'd like to point out a couple scriptures that use that word subject, the same Greek root word that's translated to place under, that's used for women here. The first one, and probably the most important one I'd like to bring out, is the first time it's mentioned in Scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 49. This is when Jesus, as a youth, stays in the temple, and his parents can't find him, and finally they find him. Luke 2:49, and he said to them, Jesus, why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. He stayed in subjection to them. That is the same Greek word translated right there, from subjection. Anybody here under any delusions that Joseph and Mary were more important than Jesus? Or more valuable than Jesus? I hope not. But Jesus was born as a child to Mary and Joseph. And despite him being God, the most important, now part of creation, hence the most important part of creation, the pivotal one of creation, the Redeemer of creation, I don't think I can stress it anymore, nonetheless, as a child, his function is to be in subjection and obedience to his parents. And so he does, having nothing to do with his value. Yes?
The Bible version says, and was obedient to them, versus...
Right.
Which explains it.
Right. It also explains it. But again, the Greek word there means to place under.
There is also a Greek word for obey, and it's not there.
Yeah.
We sometimes treat it synonymously, and translators, you know, have done that. But those are two different words. If I can just... we are told to submit to the government. We are not told to obey the laws of the land. To submit to them would be to obey the laws of the land as long as they line up with the laws of God. But where they go aside from the law of God, I need to obey God rather than man. Wow. Two different words. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It brings obedience in.
Yeah.
And this is just from years of study on that.
So do you think that's a bad translation in my Bible here?
Just keep that in mind and you're okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The outworking of being in subjection under and obeying are very close to the same thing. Yeah.
Sorry.
So, no, speaking of the obedience, in the same passage in Colossians, the word there used addressing children and slaves is more of an obedient word, but it's not used for the wife. That's actually an important thing to bring up. I'm going to skip over this passage about the government, but let's look at Acts 23 real quick. Acts 23, starting in verse 1. This is Paul before a council. He's actually in Jerusalem. He just got arrested. He's going to make his defense, or attempting to make his defense, before the Jewish council. Paul, looking intently at the council, said, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day." The high priest Ananias commanded those standing beside him to strike him on the mouth. Paul said to him, God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit to try me according to the law, and in violation of the law order me to be struck? But the bystander said, do you revile God's high priest? Paul said, I was not aware, brethren, that he was high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. Paul is kind of put in his place here and accepts it because he called the high priest, you whitewashed wall. Was Ananias a whitewashed wall? Probably. Paul said it. It must be true. He probably was. But in this position, as high priest, in their religious and social and governmental structure, Ananias is in a government position placed higher than Paul. And it is Paul's responsibility in his function as a citizen, as a Jew, as, just in his society, it is his responsibility to treat Ananias with respect, whether or not Ananias deserves it. Ananias is not more important than Paul. We all know who Paul is. I think if you stuck Ananias into a Christian trivia game, most people would be like, I've heard the name, I don't know who he is. He's a footnote. Paul is way more important in the big scheme of things. Even non-Christians know who Paul is. They might hate him. If you want to hear people talk bad about some scriptures, it's always Paul. Always Paul. But they know who he is. He's important. But he has to treat Ananias with respect because Ananias has a position and they both have functions, and within those functions they have to function correctly and respectfully in the proper way they ought to function towards one another. So all of that just to point out there are hierarchies that have nothing to do with importance. They have something to do with a properly functioning society. And we're placed into functions, and we have to deal with those functions. And those functions aren't always nice. We're going to talk about the men's function next week, and it's probably not going to be awesome. but today we're talking about the ladies' function. And I will say this. There are few things in life us men respect more when we think about it than the function the woman has. It is the most difficult thing to deal with me. I was really nervous even about talking about this because just the subject matter as a whole, tomorrow is my anniversary with my wife. 24 years, and I'm like, I better watch what I say. This might be an awkward anniversary. Ladies, but it's true. We, us men, who have the pleasure of having a wife who is willing to subject herself to us as husbands, it is a precious thing, and it must be a difficult thing because we do not always deal with it correctly. We make mistakes. And I will say this other thing. Most of you guys know Ula. Not most of you guys. You older folks know who Ula is. She was probably the most pivotal person in my youth as far as helping me through my older teenage years and guiding me, taking care of me, buying me clothes when I needed them, that sort of thing. And she probably had the most impact on the way I view my faith and the body. And if you were around during those days, you might know. She often taught Sunday school. And she would not teach the older, she would not teach the older boys if she could avoid it. Because a woman shouldn't teach a man. And so she just didn't want to do it. But she would, if there was a young man who was willing to teach, she would be in class to help, just guided as an adult. But she'd rather a man teach the teenagers. And whether you, where you lie exactly on how you feel about that doesn't matter. She wanted to act within her function. And from that function, from working within her function, she had a huge impact on a whole lot of people, including myself. And I think I joined the other men in honoring you ladies and saying that we love you guys. You guys are important to us beyond all things that God has created. And I hope that we make this job easy for you, this job of subjecting yourselves to a flawed human being. I kind of want to finish with 2 Corinthians 5:7. I was hoping to find a better verse, but I got what I got, so you're going to have to deal with it. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whatever at home or absent, whether, excuse me, at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. We're doing all these things unto the Lord. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And I think some of you ladies have a huge reward for you if you are acting according to your function. Yeah, any, yes, sir.
I'm going back to the second chapter of Luke, mm-hmm. those closing verses, and there's something there that I know that the printed word has not changed, but I have never seen this before. That after all of this that's gone on with Jesus, the relationship to his parents, and then particularly with his mother, Jesus has been teaching in the synagogue, mm-hmm. which apparently was a surprise. Not really his place to do that, but he was invited to. People were astonished and so on. And then the parents leave to go home, and they and their caravan get down the roadways a day, and they recognize he's not with them. So they turn around, go back to Jerusalem, and start looking for him. It takes them 3 days to find him. And then his response to them, why is it you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? There was a function given to Jesus that they apparently were not aware of. He reveals that to them, even though the text says they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. All right. He went down with them, came to Jerusalem. He continued in subjection to them. And part of the result of that was his mother, and this is the part that it escaped me, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. There's something about fulfilling the function that God has given us, that is an encouragement to others. That's it for now.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
And so I think this is Corinthians 5, 6, and 7. In other words, you have the big day before you do your manna and bread and all that.
OK. Okay. Do you want to expand on that? Okay.
I was curious if you were going to go right into the men's function next week, or if you're going to talk about application as far as what that subjection functionality, the outworkings of it, what it looks like. Some examples.
I do not fully understand it, but now that you asked the question, it does feel like a hole. We might address it. I was going to go into the men's part because I feel way more comfortable there. But I will think about it. It does feel almost like a disservice to you ladies not to go into it too heavy. But I had all these thoughts about the difference between function and distinction. In order to lay it out really good, to lay it out in a way that there's a clear understanding that a function that is subordinate is not less, but it is important to do, right? You must, before God, act according to your function, whether it seems glorious or not, and it does not affect your value at all. So that was kind of the stress of this, but I will think about going more into details. I might have to talk to some ladies to help me with that. Yes, sir.
Years ago, my wife and I were doing marriage counseling, premarital counseling. And we ran into a lot of very confident young men that, very good Christians and... Mm-hmm. doing the right things, and the one thing that really scared him was understanding the function of being the spiritual leader mm-hmm. of the household. So I think it is important to understand what the functions are for men, for women, and that was one that we really had to work on, what that meant and
right.
what that required.
Yeah.
I wanted to say thank you and well done.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, we should pray. We are way over again. Lord God, I thank you that we can attack these subject matters as a family. And have it be kind of fun and not confrontational. And then I want to thank you for the woman. I know when we see in Scripture when Adam got Eve, it was an amazing thing for him. It's amazing for us that you have created a creature to your own glory, but to our pleasure, Lord. I just ask for a blessing on the ladies, that they would be empowered to function within the function that you have made them. I don't know if I said that good, Lord, but but you are awesome in your creation, and we thank you, and we give you honor and glory, and we ask for your grace to be able to function within our own capacities to your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.